Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and it's my honor to be studying the second half of Sefer Shemot with you. We are now beginning our study of Parashat Ki Tisa, the longest individual parasha in Sefer Shemot, and one which goes through really three different pieces in the parasha. And we're going to cover the entire first piece in this first podcast, and that is the conclusion of the commands regarding the construction of the Mishkan. Subsequently, we will hear the story of the Egel, which we'll hear over the course of three different podcasts, and then the recovenanting that takes place after the forgiveness, the divine forgiveness for that sin. Let's begin at the beginning, Perek Lamed Pasuk Yod Aleph, and we will see six parashot that take us to the conclusion of the Mishkan. Vadeber Adonai El Moshe Lemor, Ki tisa et rosh bnei Yisrael lifkudehem, v'natnu ish kofer nafsho l'Adonai bifkorotam, v'lo yavahem negef bifkorotam. So Ki tisa here seems to be a conditional clause. When you raise up the heads of bnei Yisrael to their countings, which means when you count bnei Yisrael, then each person will give kofer nafsho, a ransom, as it were, for his life to God, bifkorotam when counted. And then there will not be an attack or some sort of a plague when they are counted. And the notion arising from this pasuk is that there is a manner in which the people, and perhaps most notably the army, is to be counted, and so that each person gives some sort of a payment, and that's the measure of counting, and then there's no plague. Does that mean that counting people per se is going to induce a plague? It seems to be the simple read of the story at the end of Sefer Shmuel, when David sends Yoav and his men out to do a census of the army. Or does it mean that if each person gives some sort of an atonement or protection, a kofar, then they will not be hurt when the count happens? A little unclear. Certainly the commentaries go in both directions. But the notion here is that if there is to be a count, this is how it's to be done. However, what becomes clear from both context here and the beginning of Parashat Pekudei is that this is not a conditional clause, but rather a direct command that you are to count them, and this is the way to do it. Zeyitnu, this is what they are to give as kofer nafsho, which we might have thought would be a sliding scale based on a person's importance, age, etc., but rather it's a single price. Kol ha'over al ha'pekudim machatzit ha'shekel v'shekel ha'kodesh. Esrim geira ha'shekel machatzit ha'shekel teruma l'adonai. So this is what they should give. Anybody who is included, kol ha'over al ha'pekudim is a military term. Anybody who is included in the count should give a half shekel of the shekel ha'kodesh, which is made up of 20 geira. So this is a weight per shekel, and it's a machatzit ha'shekel as a gift to God. Now, the word truma here doubles back to the very beginning of the parshiyot of the Mishkan and forms some sort of an inclusio in that this is something being given and raised up to God. All of the shkalim that we have found, and we found hundreds of them, or many of them, weigh roughly 12 grams. The average, the gerah, little gerah coins or weights that we found are 1/20 of that, and we have found coins that are called beka or netzer are written on them, and they weigh roughly 5.8, 5.9 grams. So this all matches with the math that's here of machzit ha-shekel. Beka means half, as we'll see in a minute. Kol ha'ovel ha'pkudim menesim shana v'mala yitein trumat Adonai. So anybody who is included in the count who's 20 years old and up gives this truma. So this is clearly members of the army. He'ashir lo yarbeh v'adal lo yamr'it v'machatzit ha'shekel v'ateit et trumat Adonai l'chapel nafshotechem. So the one who is wealthy doesn't give more. The one who is poor does not give less from this machzit ha'shekel. They have to give trumat Hashem, and again, l'chapel nafshotechem, which is the overriding theme in this parasha. ולקחת את כסף הכיפורים מפני ישראל ונתת אותו על עבודת אור המועד. והיה לבני ישראל לזיכרון לפני אדוני לחפר על נפשותיכם. And again that theme, לחפר על נפשותיכם, which shows up three times in this very short parasha. You're going to take the kesef ha-kipurim, the atonement or protection money from Bnei Israel, and put it for the work of the Ohel Moed, and it will be a commemoration before Hashem, again, l'chaper al nafshotechem. And we have several components in the Mishkan that are zikaron lifnei Hashem, such as the names of Bnei Israel on the Choshen and on the Ephod, and now the Machatzit HaShekel, even for those people who are outside of the Mishkan, the non-Kohanim, still are have a commemoration by their half shekel coming in and being included in the work for the Mikdash. This particular gift at this time, as we'll see, is used for a particular piece. We'll see that at the beginning of Pekudei. And then later on becomes the Mitzvah of Shkalim, which is given actually during this time of year, before Pesach, so that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there's a brand new fund for all of the public offerings and many other things, as detailed in Masachet Shekalim. In the next parasha, right, we're concluding again the work of the Mikdash. Vayidaber Adonai Moshe l'mor, v'asita kiyon nechoshet v'chano nechoshet l'rochtza. So you should make a laver, a basin, made out of copper or bronze, and its base made out of bronze for washing. You will then place it between the Ohel Moed and the Mizbech. Mizbech is on the outside. So this is going to be on the way into the Mikdash, and you're going to put water there. So Aaron and his sons, all the Kohanim, will use it to wash their hands and their legs. When they come into the Ohel Moed, they'll wash and they will not die. What's the implication? That if they come in without having washed, then they're chayav mitah. So not only when they come into the Mikdash, but when they approach the Mizbeach to serve, to burn something up, a burnt offering to Hashem. And again, they'll be washing their hands and their feet, they will not die. If I tell them Chok Olam Lo Uzarol Dorotam, and again this, like we've seen in several of the other components of the laws of the Mikdash, is now being presented as a Chok Olam for him and for his children. So it's not just for Aharon and his sons, but it's for their progeny, and it is not just in this Mishkan here, but also ultimately in the Mikdash. And now, those two parashot are sort of completing the construction piece. And now, there are two elements that need to be fashioned in order to complete the process of dedication and avodah. So you, Moshe, take besamim rosh, which seems to me important spices. Mordror chamesh miot, we're going to find out chamesh miot, these numbers here are shkalim. It's a weight. It cannot mean a value because then it would shift from time to time. So it's a kind of myrrh. V'kinmon besem machzito chamishim u'mataim. So kinmon besem, we'll talk about what this is half that size, meaning 250. U'knevosem chamishim u'mataim. And knevosem is also going to be 250. So the way that they generally render it is that kedah is sweet cinnamon, and the knevosim is considered to be something calamus. That's how the JPS renders it. Ukvikedah chamesh meot b'shekel hakodesh, and kedah is going to be back to the 500 measure. V'shemen zayitin, the kedah is rendered as cassia, right? And then we have olive oil. So we have these five elements, which is mordror, knevosem, kinmonbosem, and kinmonbesem and knevosem, and then we have kedah and shemen zayit. Those five components. Keep in mind those five components. We'll come back to it. V'asita oto shemen mishchat kodesh. You're going to make this into anointing oil, which means the shemen zayit, one hin of the shemen zayit, plus all of these different components, these other four components, are going to be mixed in together. Rokach mekachat maser rokach. They're going to be ground together. Shemen mishchat kodesh yeh, and then it will be shemen mishchat kodesh. It's going to be anointing oil. What's that for? You're going to anoint the Ohel Moed. And now let's hear the details. You're going to anoint the Aron. The Shulchan and all of the tongs and everything else used for it. The menorah and also the different kelim for the menorah that are used for Hatavat Taneirot, etc. V'yed Mizbach HaKtoret. Mizbach HaKtoret, the little Mizbeach in the Kodesh. So it's not only things in the Kodesh, but Mizbach HaOlav et Kol Kelav, also the Mizbeach HaOlav and all the forks and all the pieces that are used for it, all made out of bronze. V'yatakior v'etkano. And now the kior, which you just heard about it, and its base. V'kidashta otam v'yu Kodesh Kodeshim. These things will now become Kodesh Kodeshim. Kodesh Kodeshim here in the sense that sanctified for sanctification. Kanogeh by Mikdash. Anybody who touches them, Mikdash, meaning that one is not allowed to have contact with them. V'ta'aron v'panav timshach. And now you're going to take Aaron and his sons, and we already heard about this in Parakaf Tet. You're going to anoint them, V'kidashta otam v'chayin li. And you're going to sanctify them to become the Kohanim for me. And now, what are the rules of the Shemen HaMishcha? So the Shemen HaMishcha is necessary in order to be able to move forward. And remember, we heard the command back in Haftet, but now we're hearing about how to make this oil. This Shemen HaMishcha Kodesh is for me, for your generations, meaning you're going to use it forever. You may not anoint it on a person's flesh, meaning excluding for Aaron and his sons. You also cannot use this recipe, the matkonet, to make a similar thing. Kodeshu, kodeshi alachem. It's sanctified and sanctified for you. Meaning that there's two different problems. One is taking the actual shemen and using it for something else. The other is making an imitation of the shemen for yourself or for any other purpose. Ish asher yikach kamohu. If a man grinds the same kind of amounts, or who takes it and puts it on a non-Kohen, then that person, the person who does the action, gets karet. And now, the last ingredient that's going into this, take spices, nataf u'shchelet v'chelbana samim u'vona zakah. So the first word, samim, seems to take us back to the five that we already mentioned. And then we have nataf u'shchelet v'chalmana, samim u'vana zakah, is another six, and that takes us to the famous 11 pieces that go into the Ketoret, bad bevadihia, each one by itself, and then v'asita otaktoret, you're going to turn it into incense, rokach ma'aseh rokeach, by grinding it up, memulach tahor kodesh. It's going to be salted, and then it will be kodesh. V'shachaktam imena hadek. You're going to grind it finely. V'natatam imena lifnei ha'edut bo'el moed. You'll put it in front of the edut, in the Ohel Moed, ashar yiva'eh b'chashama. And again, the emphasis, as we've seen throughout, the Ohel Moed, where I'm going to meet with you. Kodesh kodeshim ti'alachem. And again, kodesh kodeshim. So this ketoret, which was also mentioned earlier, at the end of last week's parasha, we were told about the Mizbach HaKtoret, but we weren't told about what the Ketoret is made out of. Here we get the materials. V'HaKtoret asher ta'aseh b'mat kunta lo tasu lachem. Just as we heard with Shemen, you're not allowed to make this Ketoret, meaning a similar mix as this. Kodesh ti'elecha l'Adonai. It's holy for Hashem. And again we hear, holy for Hashem, not just meaning that the actual materials can't be used for something else, but you're not allowed to make an imitation. So if somebody makes it for their own pleasure of smelling, gets karet. And that's the end of the materials. But we're not done with the commands of the Mishkan, because there's still one major component and then a little bit of a surprise. And the question is, who's going to make all of this? So Hashem says to Moshe, I have called by name, I have raised up and designated and made famous Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur from Shevet Yehuda. I filled him with the spirit of Hashem, with wisdom, with discernment, with knowledge, and all sorts of artisanship. what kind of artisanship? Lachshov machashavot. And remember, the kruvim, for instance, are called maasei choshev. La'asot bazam la'kesef anachoshet. To be able to work with the gold, the silver, the bronze. V'choshet evin l'malot v'choshet eitz. Carving out in the stone and in the wood. And that, of course, is for the ephod. La'asot b'chom malacha. V'ani hine natati ito et oliyav v'nachisamach l'matei dan. I've given him an assistant, oliyav, from Shevet Dan. Uvolev ko chacham lev natati chochma. And all wise people I filled with wisdom. V'asu et kol ashet tzivitecha. That they'll be able to make all that I've commanded you. In other words, I've commanded you all of these things. But that's not necessarily your expertise. That's what their job is. And what are they going to make? Et or moed. Veta aron la idut, the aron to hold the idut, veta kaporta shoralav, veit kokleo, and all the kelim, veta shochan vet kelavet menorah tohara vet kokleha. The shochan, the menorah tohara, and that's a tricky thing because it's all made out of zahav tohor, one piece of zahav. Veit mizbacha ketoret, not zahav tohor meaning pure gold and also one piece of gold. And mizbacha ketoret, and mizbacha olavet kokleav, veta kior vet kano, all the things we listed. Ve'bigdei hasrad, also the garments. Ve'bigdei hakodesh is Aaron haKohen. Ve'bigdei vanav lechahen, and the garments for Aaron and for his sons. Ve'shemen hamishchar v'ktoret hasamim lakodesh, and the two things that we just learned about, the shemen and the ktoret, k'chol shetziviticha yasu. Everything, just the way that I commanded, that's what they're going to make for you. And now at the end of all these commands of the Mishkan, which, if you think about it, is a glorious, amazing thing that we are able to construct a place with all of these detailed dimensions and materials and locations where God will come and reside. At the end of it, we hear the following: "Vayomar Adonai Moshe Lemor, v'atah debel bnei Yisrael lemor, del bnei Yisrael, ach et shabtotai tishmoru. But you must also keep my Shabbatot. Ki oti b'ni v'nechem l'dorotechem, l'dat ki ani Adonai mikadishchem. That is the sign between me and you forever, to know that I am Hashem who sanctifies you." Now remember, we are building a place that Hashem is going to reside in and sanctify by His presence. And now we're being told that we have to remember to keep His Shabbatot, because that's the sign that Hashem is the one who sanctifies us. And there seem to be two things running at each other. On the one hand, as our first points out beautifully, as magnificent as building the Mishkan is, we don't work on it on Shabbat. We set back from it, and as glorious as it would be to build a place where Hashem is going to reside, we back off it from doing it on Shabbat. And the second thing is, as others have pointed out, that there really are two kinds of sanctity. There's sanctity of space and sanctity of time. And it's as if Shabbat is like a mikdash in time. And the parallel here is beautiful. And we often find these parallels in Vayikra in two places, chapter 2, Tishmor Mikdashi Tirao. Ushmartem et haShabbat ki kodesh hi lachem. So keep Shabbat. Machalea mot yumat. Somebody violates it, gets mitah. It's the first time we hear this explicitly. Ki chola osev va malacha, v'nichrata nefeshahim mikera vameha. Anyway, as malacha gets karet, and we hear both mot yumat and karet here. Sheshet yamim ye'asem malacha, for 6 days malacha will be done. Uvayom ha-shvi Shabbat Shabbaton kodesh la'adonai. This is a holy day for Hashem. Same word as has been used consistently through the in its construction of the Mishkan. And notice, here it's Shabbat Shabbaton, parallel with Kodesh Kodashim. Kol osem alacha b'yom ha-Shabbat mot yumat. And again, the emphasis on the death penalty for violating Shabbat. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael ta-Shabbat. B'nei Yisrael should keep the Shabbat. La'asot ta-Shabbat l'dorotam b'rit olam. They should do it forever as an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant between me and the people. And think about how bizarre it would be to build a house for Hashem and do it while violating the covenant and doing the work on Shabbat. We step back from that work on Shabbat, as magnificent as it may be. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam. This is a private sign between me and b'nei Yisrael. Because Hashem created the world in 6 days, the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day, He stepped back and, as it were, ki'ilu took a breath. And so everybody who is part of that brit, we are all commanded to imitatio Dei, to imitate God in that way, to do all of our work for 6 days and step back. And as magnificent and amazing as the work may be of building a place for Hashem, nonetheless we step back from it on Shabbat and we rest. And this is the conclusion of the commands of the Mishkan. And the next podcast, things will spiral downward as we hear the story of the eagle, but we will see to that in the next podcast. I should have a wonderful day.